Welcome to Audacity Works, a podcast inspired by and dedicated to the working artist, the creative entrepreneur, and generally, doing the damn thing. This exists on the premise that the world belongs to those who have the audacity to believe that their lives have value. This is for you. Welcome to Audacity Works. I am your host, Rachel Strickland, and this is episode number 76, in which we're going to speak about creating for an audience and the tension between that and what I've generally always espoused and still do. But first, just some updates, because I feel like it has been forever since I've just gotten to talk to you all, because last week I released an hour-long episode with Ulrika Stork. I'm sorry, Ulrika. I tried. She also told me that was fine. But as it was already an hour long, I didn't want to muddy the water, so to speak. So I'm actually recording this on the day that a great deal of people over the world have seen the total eclipse of the sun. And I was like, yeah, okay, Manflesh went all the way to Niagara Falls to look at it because that's in the path of totality. And I was like, okay, I just want to work. Like, I want to go to the studio. I don't want to miss, you know, my rehearsals. So you go ahead. And he did get me a pair of glasses, and I went out into the yard and I sat and I put on the glasses and I looked up, and it was not a complete eclipse because of where I am in the world, but oh my God, it was so fucking cool. And then my sister-in-law told me about the little moon shadows on the ground underneath, you know, leafy tree cover. Incredible. I'm officially a fan. I don't regret not going to Niagara Falls with Manflesh because, poor thing, it was cloudy there. Oh God, it was. And it was just blue skies as far as you could see here. But if you're into that kind of thing, I hope that you had a good view. Other news, I am indeed having surgery on my umbilical hernia. It's very small. It's just going to be a primary closure. I'm going to seek PT afterwards. Yeah, that's going to be next Friday, the 19th. So if you wake up, wink at the stars or something for me on that day. I'm not worried about it. It's totally fine, but it's still, you know, getting put to sleep and cut open and then reanimated afterwards. So that's kind of miraculous. It'll be 6 weeks of healing after that. That's 6 weeks of not going into the studio to move like a monster and not going into the gym to lift the heavy things and put them down again. And oh my God, what am I going to do? I guess I'll just record a bunch of podcasts. So yeah, I've got nothing but time for having interviews. If you all have thoughts for people that you'd like to hear me interview, because the first episode of each month is a guest interview. If you have people you want me to consider, I'll consider them. Other than that, I'm just going to be working my way through whatever I fancy, as well as questions that I've received from you all. That's what today's episode is. It is in response to my friend Elizabeth. Elizabeth wrote to me and said, in all seriousness, your, meaning me, I'm obviously in favor of the make art that is necessary to you perspective instead of the make art you think the audience wants to see perspective, indeed. And she understands that and goes on to say that sometimes it feels like that's intention in tension with being a generous performer who gives to the audience, which is another piece of advice that she's gotten and really resonated with. So she is asking, how do you navigate that tension? How do you navigate the tension between making the art that is necessary to you and between giving the audience what they want to see and being a generous performer? How do you navigate that tension? Thank you so much for this question, Elizabeth. I have been waiting to sit down with it, like a little picnic, because it's so tasty. Okay, so you know what I'm going to say first, because I have to say it first. If it comes down to, should I do what I think is best, or should I pander to an audience? You know what I'm going to say. You know what I'm going to say. No, don't pander. I don't think you should. Now, my perspective is not the only perspective out there, and it's certainly not the only perspective worth worth listening to. But when there is tension between those two things, me personally, I'm always going to advise you to trust yourself and your artistic instincts over what the audience wants. Couple reasons for that. One, most of you don't know what the audience wants. Like, did you take a poll? How are we finding this out? Well, how do we know what the audience wants? And do we care? I'm not saying that to act as though they're not an important part of the equation. They very much are. But audiences, generally, they want to be moved. They don't want to be patronized. And when an audience comes to see a piece of work that an artist has made, they trust that artist, or are taking a chance on them, to move them. Now, cast your mind back. Cast your mind back. At some point in your life, you have probably seen a performance of some kind that was pandering to you. You, the person in the audience. I know I was, and I was not pleased. The one that comes to mind for me is, there's an Irish festival here in Charleston, and my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law were in town, and Manflesh was like, there's Irish music in Charleston because it's the festival. I'm like, oh my God, let's go. I fucking love Irish music. And I was picturing, you know the scene that I'm picturing, like in the pub with all of the old men and someone's playing spoons, just like a good dirty Irish session. That's what I thought was going to happen. So you can imagine my disappointment when I show up and there's like, oh God, there's like 28-year-old performers, and they all have lovely voices, and they're wearing sequin vests with four-leaf clovers on them, and they're singing covers of Beatles songs. They all have Irish accents, but I am not convinced that they were legitimate. Nothing against the performers, you know, they were trying to make a buck, and fair play to them. That's often, by the way, when pandering comes into play, when you're trying to make some money. Not always. So anyway, yeah, that was a travesty because I was hoping for an Irish session and instead got like the Disney cruise ship version. But, you know, I was so bored during that performance that I did come up with the idea for the quadruped. I'll go ahead and link that in the show notes if you have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. It's a four-legged stilt monster. I love her. I don't know if she would exist if I hadn't gone to that boring performance. But that was an example of a performance in which I felt very patronized by the performers. And like I said, nothing against them, but like, would I pay again to go see something like that? No. So really, the first question that we need to sit with here in navigating the tension between doing what you want and what the audience wants is, how do we know what the audience wants? Because most of the time I hear performers speak about what the audience wants, they're doing so from a place of insecurity. They want the audience's love and admiration. Obviously, like, of course they do. We all do. But they don't feel secure in that, and they don't feel confident in what they're doing. So they're projecting a story onto this relationship between themselves and the audience, and they're imagining, this is what I think the audience wants. And if that projection is based on feelings of insecurity, you need to ignore the shit out of that. I'm going to say this again, kind of real slow, all right? Because it took me a very long time to solve a mystery I set out to solve when I was quite young. That mystery was, how do you kind of conquer personal insecurity? And the only answer that I came up with that has rang true to this day is, you cannot make choices based on it. You cannot make choices based on your insecurities, or it's going to get the best of you. It's okay to have them. Of course you have them. You are human. But if we are, if we're inventing a story, if we're telling ourselves a story about what the audience wants, and that story is based on our own feelings of insecurity, that should be ignored. That is just a story that we're telling ourselves. Now, I want to tell you a story that is actually a true story about when I performed and I got feedback from an audience member, a real live audience member, and they told me, I wanted this. And this was many years ago, and it was my double mask act called Gemini. And it was the first time I'd ever performed it. And it's got some like light flexibility acrobatics in it. And there's a, I don't know, a back bend or something. And after the show, a friend that I knew from Circus Center came up and said he enjoyed the act very much, but he really felt like the audience wanted me to look at them in the middle of the back bend. Like they wanted to clap for me, but they didn't really have an outlet to do that. So the next time I performed that act, I followed his advice, and he was right. They did want to clap. Like there, it was a release valve. And I just looked at them in the middle of that back bend, and they were like, oh my God, yay! I'm like, oh, okay, that was good advice. Thank you, Jan. Now, I would not have come up with that on my own. I would not have projected that story because I never would have thought of it. But if a member of the audience is like actively telling you, I really wanted to see, like I craved this, and you respect their opinion, and I did. Now, that seems like a situation in which it could be good for everyone for you to take that piece of feedback. Because the truth is, in navigating the tension between these two things, I very much believe that they are not always in opposition to each other. They're not really at odds. Like during that piece that I just told you about, the double mask act called Gemini, I didn't change the concept of that act at all. It was still very much my monster. And if someone had come and given me feedback like, I thought your costume was too skimpy, I don't care. Because showing the body was part of the point of that act. But saying, I wanted you to look at me in the middle of the back bend, yeah, I can do that. In fact, I would love to give that to the audience. So I did, and it worked. So you can still be true to you and to the piece of work that you are making and that you are delivering, and as well be generous to the audience. And that's really the point I wanted to drive home here, is that these two things aren't really at odds. They're not at odds because you can be true to yourself and to your own vision while still being a generous performer. Very much. And what I'd like to invite you to do with this theory of mine is to take it out into the world and test it. It's my theory because I've tested it, and I have remained true to my artistic integrity while being generous to the audience, because that feels really good. It feels good for you. It feels good for the audience. That's what we're here for, right? So I've tested it. I have found my reasonings. I want to know about you. I would love it if you would take this, go out, tell me what happens. What happens? Do you feel tension between those two things? Between remaining true to your artistic integrity and giving the audience what they want and being a generous performer? What does it feel like? Main points, just to kind of rehash for a second. One, unless the audience is actually telling you something, you don't know what the audience wants. Like, you can feel it sometimes when you're on stage, and that's a beautiful human thing, that energetic connection. And I would urge you to trust that, especially if it feels good, trust that. But where I am wary of trying to please an audience is when we're just projecting a story onto the audience based on our own personal insecurities about our work. And that's not good for anybody. That's not good for your work. That's not going to lead to good work. And it's not going to please the audience, is my guess. But it is my opinion that the thing that the audience wants from us most of all is to be moved. And they are putting their trust in us to move them. And the best way that you have of moving someone else is by following your own instincts. couple words of encouragement for those of you out there who are making work. Please don't play it safe. Please, please don't play it safe. If you know something's going to work and you're planning it out and yep, here it's going to go like this and this is going to be the effect of that and it's going to be great and it's just going to work and it's safe. Fuck it up. Get right up in there and fuck it up. Because if you are playing too safe, I fear that you are not going to feel the satisfaction that you have a right to feel after creating and birthing a whole piece of work, whatever that is. Whether you find it successful or whether you've decided it's a failure, it's all information and it's all useful. But greatness courts failure, so we need to be allowing ourselves to make work that is quote-unquote bad. Artists have to be able to make bad work and to have fallow periods. But when it comes to the tension between following your own instincts and doing something somewhat, let's assume that someone has actually given you feedback. They're like, I would like to see this. I think that this would be more successful. I'm always going to tell you to trust yourself first. Always. Even if it fails, I would still tell you to trust yourself. I got another quick little story before we wrap up here today. I created a very scary piece once, and I had coaching from someone who was very famous and very, very good at their job. And once I had worked out a draft, I performed it on my own the first time, and the audience went apeshit. They loved it. And then I went to perform it a second time, and my coach and mentor was there. And I'm not going to name them for reasons that you will soon see. They had so many corrections for me. They came to see the tech rehearsal and they're like, oh, nope, you cannot do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. And I respected them so much. I just held them in such high esteem. So I tried to take all their suggestions, even though it was just incorrect to try to change a piece the day before it's being performed in so many places. And as a result, the piece flopped. You know, I wasn't confident in what I was doing because there had been too many changes. And I kept wondering if I was pleasing my mentor or not. And really, there were two people who had issues with boundaries here. Like one, my mentor did not have healthy boundaries between putting themselves into their students' work. They didn't have healthy boundaries around knowing, okay, this is where you end and this is where your student begins. And there are certain things that you don't need to fuck with in there. And I had boundaries around thinking that someone else knew better than me just because they'd had an illustrious career. And they didn't. They didn't know better. Like, they didn't make the piece better. They made it worse. And it was a hard lesson to learn, but I hope they learned it. I don't know. I never asked. I know I did, and that's never been a problem for me since. I love taking notes and taking direction, but I also have a pretty sensitive dial around when I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. That doesn't feel right. And I wish all of you to have, you know, trusts. Just trust in your own freak flag. You know, you're already letting it fly, so you may as well wave it around. Looking at the time, I'm going to wrap this up and say thank you for letting me sit in your ear for 20 minutes. It means a great deal to me, and every time I get a message from one of you, it just really lights my world up, and I thank you so much for listening and for coming back week after week. And if you have any suggestions for people you would like me to interview or subjects you'd like for me to cover, I'm going to have a whole bunch of time on my hands coming up soon. So you know where to find me. I am on Instagram at Rachel Strickland Creative or on Patreon at Rachel Strickland Creative. This podcast is powered by Patreon, and I want to have an extra special thank you to my amazing patrons for making this and so much more possible for me and my life that would just not exist at all without you. So thank you. Thank you for standing with me. Thank you for staying with me. I wish you all a great feast of finding that you can have both trust in your own artistic integrity as well as your generosity as a performer. I hope you love what you find. Don't go back to sleep.